live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us. Today, we're going to talk about a clinical trial that concluded ashwagandha improved performance on cognitive tasks and executive function and attention and reaction time. That's very important if you have someone who has Alzheimer's dementia. This is the National University in Singapore, and I'll go into it in depth, and we'll see how we can improve our brains. We have about 12 other important studies today to share also. Then today, back to the heavy lifting, challenging Wikipedia again, and this time we're going to challenge them based upon their attack and denigration of naturopathy. Why? Why, when there are so many good studies, so much support from the mainstream medical community, and the Library of Medicine's published articles, all supporting naturopathy, why would they continue to denigrate it? Could it be because they fear all complementary and alternative medicine, and a select group of skeptics, supported by Jimmy Wales, the co-founder of Wikipedia, finds it necessary not to have competing healthcare systems? In any case, whatever the answer to their motivation, that we will probably never know. But what we do know is they're wrong, completely wrong. So number 67 articles and letters to Wikipedia showing where they're wrong, and today is another in that. And these are all scholarly written, fully vetted for accuracy, and posted on prn.fm. Please download them and share them with whoever. Also, I'm going to be going back to answering people's questions on any topic they find important. So we'll go to those calls today as well, get as many as we can in. And then if student debts were honest, student loans, I should say, were honest, would it make a difference? Well, you decide. I'm going to play that. And I'm going to save two longer pieces, one about bank collapse in China, $40 trillion of debt heading to economic collapse in China's yuan, and Chris Hedges and Abby Martin, there's no way out through elections. Those won't be able to be done today, but we will do them, and they're standing by. Our archive number to call to download any program you'd like is 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Now we begin with the latest on health and healing. According to news originating from Singapore, they say that in many of the developing countries, they're experiencing a rapidly graying population. Well, of course, with that comes cognitive decline, and it's common in the elderly. There is no cure by orthodox methods for dementia, and pharmacotherapy options to treat cognitive dysfunction provide limited symptomatic improvements. However, in the very near future, depending upon the outcome of a current study that I'm working with on aging, I may do just a support group just on cognitive decline and dementia and Alzheimer's. But we have found that you can make a difference. Now, this study just looked at one item, ashwagandha, A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A, ashwagandha. It's a very popular herb. It's highly valued in Ayurvedic medicine and has often been used to aid memory and cognition. Well, this systematic review thus aimed to evaluate the clinical evidence based upon investigations about the role of ashwagandha in managing cognitive dysfunction. And it worked. They had very positive results from clinical studies and trials that found five clinical studies that met the study's eligibility criteria, and there was clinical evidence to form a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind trials to support cognitive benefits. So there we have something that the skeptics and Wikipedia and many within the negative medical community don't believe is possible. Herbs that can make a difference. Other healing systems make a difference. But the peer-reviewed literature shows they're wrong. From the University of Copenhagen comes a study about a single nutrient that's able to slow early aging syndrome. What do I mean? Patients with Werner, that's W-E-R-N-E-R syndrome, have early signs of aging, generally gray hair, wrinkled skin, increased incidence of cancer and type 2 diabetes. On average, they die around the age of 45. And the underlying mechanisms of the disease are unknown, and therefore no treatment is yet available. Well, the researchers looked at a cleanup process in cells called mitophagy. And that means it breaks down defective mitochondria, that's the cell's energy factories, and reuses the proteins of which they're made. So now, for the first time, that, and this is with Werner syndrome, they're finding it's due in part to errors in the cleanup process. So when we improve the cleanup by giving supplements, then that makes a difference. And the supplement in this case is NAD. And in animal models, it showed an increase in lifespan and delays the aging process. And the research looked closely at the cleanup process in blood samples for patients with Werner syndrome and found that it worked. So that's good news. And for all of you who are in the anti-aging study, you're in your post the campus, meaning all the people in one place, all following the same identical protocols every day. They've done through their 60 days. Now they're at home for their post 30 days, then a follow-up blood work again. They're all getting special amounts of NAD in that protocol. That's just one of about 35 different nutrients they're getting, but it's making a difference. From the Australian National University comes a study about working out in the gym. And what it shows is it could lower dementia rates. So the more you work out, the less likely you are to have brain shrinkage, the more likely you are to have to reduce body mass index, or that's your amount of belly fat. And it's especially true to keep that brain from shrinking, because then you get the onset of dementia. Now, I found that in people who have a high body fat index, meaning they're overweight or obese, they're far more likely to become susceptible to inflammatory processes, including in the brain, leading to dementia and Alzheimer's. This was published in the International Journal of Obesity. So working out, keeping the weight down, that's all important. From Chongqing University in China comes a study about lowering your risk of colitis. And they do it with a tea. It's called Kudachinga, K-U-D-I-N-G-C-H-A. And they look at the potential of this tea being a functional food, meaning working in the body in a way that helps with healing. It's either called Kudachinga or Kunding, K-U-D-I-N-G-T. And historically, it was used to treat ulcerative colitis. Well, they found that the tea could help treat and prevent ulcerative colitis without any side effects. Now, it's a very bitter-tasting tea, but it's very popular in China. It's used to quench thirst and remove phlegm, and they use it for enhanced eyesight. Now, on the other hand, we know that ulcerative colitis, which is an inflammatory bowel disease, can increase your risk of colon cancer. It causes long-lasting ulcers along the surface, the large intestine and rectum, resulting in a feeling of urgency but the inability to defecate, as well as bleeding and debilitating pain and diarrhea, fatigue, fever, weight loss, among others. The disease symptoms can be life-threatening and can cause growth retardation in children. So here you have a plant that is rich in polyphenols, and it's very, very good for them. It can inhibit inflammation. It can turn off the free radicals. So all that is good. And it also, this was published in the journal PLOS ONE, major scientific journal, it also is good in protecting against metabolic disorders. There's your diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. You don't require a lot of it, and therefore it's something new that people didn't know about. From the University of California, Davis, comes a study about your personality traits and how by changing them, it can change a lot of how you perceive the world or the world perceives you. Now, when we're talking about personality traits, we're identifying as neuroticism, extroversion, openness to experience, agreeableness, conscientiousness. All of these can predict a wide range of important outcomes like health and happiness and income. And because of this, these traits might represent an important target so that you can improve yourself. But to do that, you first have to be aware of how your quality of personality or these traits impact other people. Herein lies part of the problem. We are very good at maladaption, meaning if we have someone in the art, let's say in our office each day, and they come in and where everyone else is kind of happy and they're seeing people again the next day and they say hello and how you doing. These people come in always with a negative attitude. Something is always wrong in their life. There's always someone to blame for something. They go out of their way to look for fault in anything, in anyone, any environment. And therefore, if they were sitting with a cup of herbal tea alone in the Taj Mahal, they'd find a reason to not like the Taj Mahal. We've all met these people, and they never change. But if they chose to change these behaviors, it would open up a whole new range of social possibilities because it's no longer going to be so easy to predict how they're going to respond. And they're going to be more open, more fluid, more flexible. And that can allow them to have a longer life, a healthier life, and a, well, we've all seen it, better attitude. So yes, you can change your personality traits. First, however, you have to be honest about what they are. There is brown seaweed. What's good is it suppresses the gastric cancer cell malignant phenotype and production of what is called TGF-B1. This is from University of Fudan in China. So they eat a lot of seaweed in China. We don't eat seaweed, with rare exception, in the United States. And we certainly don't eat brown seaweed. We eat wakame, kombu, hijiki, nori, but dulse. But we don't eat the brown seaweed. We should. According to news reports originating from Shanghai, the sulfated polysaccharide brown seaweed displays excellent anti-cancer properties. And that is good against all cancers. So, just another thing that we should be aware of that we could add to our diet. From University of Miami comes a study about coenzyme Q10. And it shows that, well, let's see, how long has it been? It's been 60 years since the discovery of coenzyme Q10. Now, it's not a vitamin. It's called vitamin-like. And it was first identified by Nobel Prize-winning scientist Frederick Crane. And currently it's used to treat heart disease, and rightly so, and also from my perspective to prevent a heart attack and stroke. And it's extremely therapeutic, but also for cancer patients. So a new study shows that this nutrient causes cancer cells to self-destruct, apoptosis, suicide of cancer cells, instead of multiplying. And that gives rise to hopes that it can be utilized as an important integrative therapy for cancer patients. And when you take a closer look, you understand why. Coenzyme Q10 is also called ubiquinone. And this is due to its ubiquitous nature. Coenzyme Q10 is found in nearly every human cell, with particularly high concentrations in the mitochondria of the brain and the heart. These are the powerhouses of the cell. And researchers have found that coenzyme Q10 is vital in producing what is called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. That's the energy molecule. Also, it's a potent antioxidant that boosts immune health and energy. And it has an even more important function to perform. Researchers report that out-of-control replication characteristic of cancer cells is a result of cells' lost capacity to respond to programmed cell death or apoptosis. An exciting study shows that coenzyme Q10 brings this ability back by modulating the protein which causes the resistance to cell death in the first place. So it suppresses the growth of cancer cells, it reduces tumor growth, and in fact, researchers at the University of Miami added coenzyme Q10 to prostate cancer cells and found a 70% inhibition in growth over 48 hours, along with a reversal in the anti-apoptotic protein BCL2. So adding Q10 to breast cancer cells also inhibited proliferation without harming healthy cells. So it worked also against melanoma cells, resulting in the death of all cancer cells within hours. So I just want to bring you the best of the best. And this, by the way, was presented to the American Association for Cancer Research in Anaheim, California. Also, for those with liver disease, good news from Peking Union Medical College in China. Magnesium is able to help. And if you don't have enough magnesium, then you're going to end up with worse liver disease. So magnesium, as we know, is a vital catechin that takes part in many cellular processes. Magnesium can balance multiple conditions. It can help you have a regular heart rate, which I'm surprised most cardiologists don't seem to be aware of, because every ad on television for AFib is for drugs, where if you use just four combinations, L-carnitine and magnesium from citrate and coenzyme Q10, and also I would use vitamin E, tocotrienols. I've seen in people I've counseled reversal of AFib. In any case, so it's very important to understand that if you have liver cirrhosis or chronic alcoholic liver disease or liver cancer or viral hepatitis, make sure you're getting enough magnesium. And finally, what is the best defense against MRSA at home? From Washington University in St. Louis, to get rid of this methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, wash your hands. Thousands of Americans each year die, about 20,000, because of MRSA. Antibiotic overuse has made MRSA more common and difficult to treat because of the bacteria's contagiousness, coupled with this resistance to standard infection-fighting drugs. If I got MRSA, I can assure you that I'd be doing something completely different, and including ozone, which would make a difference, but also wiping down all surface areas where someone may have had an infection with hydrogen peroxide rubbing alcohol, tea tree oil, and colloidal silver mixed together, and then use that as a wipe. And the household environment plays a key role in the transmission of MRSA in the community setting. Now, this was published in The Lancet Infectious Disease. Something as simple as just keeping surface areas clean and keeping your hands clean. Remember, every time you open a door, pick up a telephone, the things you take for granted, you're also picking up on your hand whatever was there before or putting from your hand onto that surface. We're not hygienic enough in the United States. We take it for granted. Now, mind you, staph can cause pneumonia, severe organ damage, and death when it enters the bloodstream and bones and organs. So wash your hands, especially under the fingernails. That's the latest on health and healing. We are 19 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to share an in-depth original report. The purpose is to challenge the small group of skeptics, none of whom, to my knowledge, have any knowledge firsthand of being a clinician in the field of complementary alternative medicine, working with patients, doing clinical studies. They have not taken the graduate courses. They're not degreed in the area. They haven't published in peer-reviewed literature. Yet they are, with no background in science, many of these people are making judgments on people who've spent careers helping hundreds of thousands of people in a given field, and thousands individually, in some fields like chiropractic, hundreds of millions of people. And yet the media, the government, and Wikipedia believe that a handful of people with no qualifications is more relevant than the entire field that has helped hundreds of millions of people. So we're going to challenge them. We have. And when I asked, I just spoke with Deepak Chopra yesterday, when I asked these people and Rupert Sheldrake last week, why didn't you write articles against them? Why? Well, because, you know, they're protected and nothing's going to happen. It's not true. Already they've hired outside counsel. That's a good thing. And we wondered why it took them so long. Because someone's paying attention. Because we're not going away. And we're persistent. And now the next step is to get congressional hearings, to get official investigations, and to get discovery and depositions. All that is coming. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Play for about a I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world, all of our syndicated stations. Thank you for joining us. Americans are increasingly turning to complementary and alternative medical systems for their health care needs. This trend has been underway for several decades. This has been perceived as competition by the mainstream medical establishment. The reasons for this growing popularity include the cost of conventional treatments, rising out-of-pocket expenses, serious drug adverse effects, and physician diagnostic errors continue to plague the orthodox medical establishment. More than ever, people are questioning whether conventional medical treatments are as safe and effective as promised. According to the Federal National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, approximately 83 million American adults, that's 38%, used some type of complementary and alternative protocol or treatment last year, the most popular being supplements like omega-3 fatty acids, glucosamine, coenzyme Q10, melatonin, and botanical supplements like ginseng, ginkgo, and echinacea. In 2007, the National Health Interview Survey calculated there were approximately 354 million visits to complementary and alternative practitioners. Today, that figure is significantly higher. As complementary and alternative medicine enters mainstream medical practice and is gradually being covered by insurance companies. Outside the United States, surveys show complementary and alternative medicine is more popular. Examples: South Korea, 75% of the population use complementary and alternative treatments annually, and 52% of the entire population in Australia uses complementary and alternative medicines regularly. Now, these healing modalities include acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, naturopathy, Chinese and Indian Ayurvedic medical systems, orthomolecular and energy medicines, meditation, stress reduction techniques, Chinese martial arts and yoga, nutritional counseling, and a wide range of massage and body-mind therapies. Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wells claims to hold high standards of objectivity and balance in the content of the online encyclopedia and the integrity of his volunteer army of editors. Indeed, this is largely true for non-controversial content where economic, political, and social factors hold no consequence. Yet, when it comes to the composition and editing of complementary and alternative medical systems and natural health care, in our opinion, Wikipedia is an arsenal of misinformation and lies. We believe it has become a malignant growth to serve the ideological and financial purposes of select individuals and groups Wells has shown favors towards. A group of individuals and organizations collectively known as skeptics who assert their power represent, they claim, science-based medicine, now portend to be the final arbiters of what is and is not sound medical practice. However, it is our opinion that skeptics are grossly biased, widely uneducated about complementary and alternative medicine, and are both anti-science and anti-health. Skeptics consistently refuse to accept the enormous volume of published complementary and alternative medical research because it is contrary to their regressive understanding about medicine and limited to a pharmaceutical model. Upon visiting Wikipedia's page on naturopathy, the visitor will immediately read the following. This is in their opening paragraphs. Quote, "Naturopathy or naturopathic medicine is a form of alternative medicine that employs an array of pseudo-scientific practices branded as natural, non-invasive, or promoting self-healing. The ideology and methods of naturopathy are based upon vitalism and folk medicine rather than evidence-based medicine. Instead, naturopathic practice rely on unscientific notions, often leading naturopaths to diagnosis and treatments that have no factual merit. Naturopathy is considered by medical profession to be ineffective and possibly harmful, raising ethical questions about its practice. In addition to accusations from the medical community, such as the American Cancer Society, naturopaths have repeatedly been accused of being charlatans and practicing quackery." End quote. All right. So let's just say that you're a person that's tried orthodox medicine for whatever condition you have, and it's failed, and nothing else seems to work, so you heard that maybe naturopathy would work. Reading that paragraph, the probability is you're going to be dissuaded from going any further. You'll say, well, nothing there. I don't want to get in the hands of a charlatan or a quack, and that's what they're calling him. The page is riddled with references to the most malicious voices and publications in the skeptic community, including The Skeptical Inquirer, Stephen Barrett's Quack Watch, Kimball Atwood's Science-Based Medicine Blog, David Gorski's Science-Based Medicine Blog, Barry Beierstein's Quack Watch, Arnold Relman's Quack Watch, Victor Herbert's Quack Watch, Britt Hermes' Science-Based Medicine Blog, Jan Bellamy, Science-Based Medicine Blog, Edzard Ernst, Center for Inquiry, William Jarvis, Quack Watch, the National Council Against Health Fraud, Stephen Baer's pro-industry-supported front organization, The Skeptic's Dictionary. All told, approximately 20% of the citations on naturopathy's page originates from skeptic resources. In every case, original citations are extremely biased, derogatory, and demeaning towards naturopathy. The sole intention, we believe, of organizations such as the Center for Inquiry and the Society for Science-Based Medicine, Quackwatch, is not to educate with objectivity, but rather to eradicate naturopathy from clinical medical practice. Stephen Barrett's characterization of naturopaths is a commonly held image throughout the skeptic community. Quote, I believe that the average naturopath is a muddlehead who combines common sense health and nutrition measures and rational use of a few herbs with a huge variety of unscientific practices and anti-medical double talk. End quote. Is Stephen Barrett a scientist? Is he a naturopath? Has he ever done a clinical study using naturopathic techniques? Has he tried the principle under which all science is based, reproducibility? Has he attended their conference? Has he taken their classes? Then how can he call thousands of individuals muddlehead and talk about anti-medical when they are licensed medical practitioners? The Wikipedia page quotes Barrett's statement that naturopathy is, quote, simplistic and that its practices are riddled with quackery. End quote. And Barrett's Quackwatch colleague William Jarvis is, quote, unquote, quackery not only harms people, it undermines the ability to conduct scientific research and should be opposed by scientists, end quote. So such a statement clearly has no place on an encyclopedia page that pretends to convey a neutral perspective. They're not coming from neutral. They have never been neutral. They have always, as long as I've ever heard of Stephen Barrett, going back 40 years, he has been nothing but the primary person attacking complementary and alternative medicine. So what makes him an expert? What makes him rise above peer-reviewed scientific studies and hundreds of millions of patients' visits with positive outcome? What? Alternatively, we look at a peer-review article published in the journal Primary Care by a fellow at the University of Wisconsin Department of Family Medicine, and we discover naturopathy is different. Quote, as a completely different medical system that was presented. Okay, what does he say? Quote, naturopathy is a distinct type of primary care medicine that blends age-old healing traditions with scientific advances and current research. It is guided by a unique set of principles that recognize the body's innate healing capacity, emphasize disease prevention, and encourage individual responsibility to obtain optimal health. Naturopathic treatment modalities include diet and clinical nutrition, behavioral change, hydrotherapy, homeopathy, botanical medicine, physical medicine, pharmaceuticals, and minor surgery. Naturopathic physicians are trained as primary care physicians in four-year accredited doctoral-level naturopathic medical schools, end quote. Well, hold on. Well, if I had a serious medical condition and my original medical treatment didn't work, that would allow me to at least believe that I could exercise some hope based upon naturopathy being a legitimate, recognized and accepted medical practice. So this is a far more factual and honest description of naturopathy than that Wikipedia editors pervert and condemn. Little background. The origins of modern naturopathy can be traced back to the European nature cure practiced in the 19th century that explored the healing characteristics of fresh water, air, sunlight, natural diet, exercise, and medicinal herbs. Today, scientific research has collected an enormous body of literature showing the benefits of each of these natural determinants to health and mental wellness. The author also notes that common criticisms against naturopathy and the research supporting its efficacy and safety are, quote, taken out of context and require, quote, whole systems research to properly understand its therapeutic value. Naturopathy properly falls under holistic medicine, which investigates the whole person, body, mind, emotions, and the environment. Orthodox medicine, on the other hand, is utterly clueless about the new models to explain the causes of health and the proliferation of disease, according to whole systems research. quote, the optimal research model used for evaluating naturopathic interventions must allow for individualized, multifaceted treatment strategies and potentially synergistic effects. Whole systems research is an emerging research paradigm which may provide a better assessment of complementary and alternative therapies than classic random controlled trials, which attempt to determine the single best treatment for all patients, end quote. As with many of Wikipedia's entries for complementary and alternative medical systems, there is heated debates, controversies, and outright disdain carried out by skeptic editors who are determined to destroy these practices. In almost every case, the more ferocious voices arguing against corrections being made are editors who we have identified as skeptics. It is not uncommon to find the same skeptic editors dominating multiple discussions focusing on a variety of complementary and alternative subjects on Wikipedia. So the question is, if you're going to be an expert on homeopathy, on chiropractic, on, let's say, use of vitamin C drips, or nutritional diets, I'm assuming then that you're a board-certified dietitian, you have degrees in clinical nutrition, you are nationally certified, you've done clinical studies, you've published in peer-reviewed literature, you have thousands of patients who could testify to the efficacy and safety of what you've done. I'm sure that that's the case, right? You wouldn't be filled with such arrogance and conceit that you would dominate all discussions by people who are actually in the field with those credentials. So what do we see when we look into the bios of many of these skeptics? No background in science or medicine or health whatsoever. Well, then how in the world should we then set our mind to accepting you as an expert? But we don't know, since you're anonymous and there's no biographical background, as there is with the Encyclopedia Britannica or other legitimate encyclopedias. We have no idea who you are. We don't know what your biases are. We just know that you are biased because you don't start off to have a discussion by allowing all sides an opportunity to present their arguments. You have one argument, your own. You then castigate anyone else who even is in a field. You create biographies of people. Deepak didn't create his biography. I didn't create my biography. And yet you don't allow those to be taken down. In effect, You're condemning someone without any jurisprudence, without any opportunity to defend oneself. How fair is that? But I err. It wasn't meant to be fair, and it hasn't been. One of Wikipedia categories is questionable science, which Wikipedia defines separately from pseudoscience. This includes, quote, theories which have a substantial following, such as psychoanalysis, but which some critics allege to be pseudoscience, may contain information to that effect, but generally should not be so characterized, end quote. However, Wikipedia continues to label most medical systems falling under complementary and alternative medicine categories as pseudoscience, despite their large following. A German study investigated the use of complementary and alternative medicine among cancer patients in 18 countries, including the United States. The researchers found a steady increase in overall complementary and alternative medicine use from 25% in the 1970s and 1980s and 49% after 2000. It is estimated that over 40% of cancer patients currently use some form of complementary and alternative therapy and natural supplements, which fell under naturopathy, being the most common. Naturopathic doctors are also far better educated in nutritional sciences and regularly include nutrition in their patient protocols. Nutrition is simply practical advanced biochemistry that every medical doctor should be familiar with, yet this is not the case. The average graduate from a conventional, regular mainstream medical school receives less than 20 hours of study in diet nutrition, and this is not enforced. Many physicians we've interviewed over the years said they received far less hours, commenting on the lack of practical skills in nutrition for doctors to treat common ailments such as weight gain or blood sugar rise poor blood pressure and heart disease. Dr. David Eisenberg, director of nutrition at Harvard School of Public Health, opined that, quote, it is a scandal that health professionals are not introduced to these facts above and beyond minimal information about nutritional deficiencies and biochemistry, nor are they required on board certification, whether it's to become an internist or cardiologist or endocrinologist, you name it, end quote. So here's what the skeptics don't seem to know or want to know. A naturopath has received a minimum of 150 hours of nutrition education and over 1,300 hours of clinical nutritional training. Furthermore, naturopathic doctors undergo a more rigorous and rigid curriculum required for certification, which includes the same diagnostic, biochemical, and clinical sciences as medical doctors. Naturopathic students also carry on average, larger credit loads, under 800 hours for the first 2 years of medical school compared to 1,100 hours for naturopathic college. Finally, unlike students in a four-year medical school, naturopathic students will receive upwards of 4,100 contact hours of direct training, almost double that received in the conventional medical school. The fundamental difference is that naturopathic students are educated in natural and non-toxic drug therapies with more emphasis focused upon disease prevention. And yet, reading Wikipedia, you would know none of this. Arguably, naturopathic physicians are trained equally and perhaps more thoroughly than your standard allopathic doctors. For this reason, more hospitals are now hiring naturopathic doctors on their staffs. In 23 states and territories that currently allow licensure to practice, among these are Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Columbia University, Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, Goshen Center for Cancer Care, the University of Kansas Medical Center, Northwestern Osher Center, Oregon Health and Sciences University, and the State Universities of Arizona, California, at Irvine, Washington, Wisconsin, and Pittsburgh. Therefore, for the skeptics, and Wikipedia categorically write off naturopathy as quackery, it's just sheer nonsense and is directly contrary to current medical trends. Wikipedia's statement that, quote, naturopaths lack an adequate scientific basis and it is rejected by the medical community, end quote, is patently and maliciously false. Only among the fringe scientific faction of modern-day skepticism do we find a contingent of individuals fixated and rigidly dedicated to denying the preventative and therapeutic value of naturopathy and other complementary and alternative practices. In recent months, Wikipedia's naturopath talk page that the public doesn't see has experienced renewed activity with the legitimacy of its derogatory characterization of the discipline again in question. Junior editors who do not have permission to correct the page's glaring inaccuracies noted, and by the way, we have many, 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 I'm just giving you a sample, and the worst we're not giving yet, those the public will be made aware of in appropriate time, but in a different venue. Now, this article contains inaccurate, this is what a junior editor is saying from inside Wikipedia. Quote, this article contains inaccurate, misleading information that violates Wikipedia's own policies and guidelines. Further, the page has been frozen by Wikipedia until 2019, which effectively silences anyone with accurate, verifiable information, at least within the Wikipedia platform. This is the inaccurate statement by Wikipedia's editors controlling the same page, which is the naturopathic page. Quote, over the years, many practitioners of naturopathic medicine have been found criminally liable in the courts of law according around the world, end quote. Yeah? Cite them. What was the violation? Who are they? And was it an individual? You're not condemning a whole field if there is such an individual, but where's that individual citation? Wikipedia violates validity, no citations, violates neutral point of view, does not align with content that would be appropriate or relevant to include in a lead section because would not be representative of a large professional majority. That's what another junior editor said, and that would be correct. But here is what the Wikipedia editor says. Naturopathic medicine is considered by the medical profession to be ineffective and possibly harmful, raising ethical issues about its practice, end quote. Really? Well, why is it that the insurance companies and universities and hospitals and medical groups all around the United States are embracing naturopathy? They don't answer that. This is from a junior editor. Quote, Wikipedia violates neutral point of view, fails to provide unbiased, balanced information that is representative of the majority of naturopathic doctors. This is an article written by someone who, according to Wikipedia, is a, quote, an active skeptic and an outspoken critic of naturopathy. Understandably, the author writes from a biased perspective. He often uses loaded language, draws inaccurate and unverified conclusions from the sources he cites, and states his opinions as facts, end quote. The editor, who listed the above violations concerning validity and neutrality point of view, verifiability, and a failure to properly provide citations, was eventually blocked by one of Wikipedia's senior skeptic, Roxy the Dog. The anonymous Roxy is a longtime senior editor who has earned the reputation of being a fanatical skeptic ideologue. Naturopathic physicians are denied recognition for any expertise in their practice to qualify them making corrections or adding positive content to the Wikipedia page on naturopathy. But Wikipedia's hypocrisy is palpable regarding who can and cannot edit pages, and it's brutal. While conventional medical doctors are actually recruited to write content, experts practicing complementary and alternative therapies are routinely excluded, blocked, and banned on charges of conflicts of interest. In its attempts to correct erroneous information on the naturopathic page, the president of the Council on Naturopathic Medical Education, that's the leading organization for accreditation of naturopathic college programs and licensing exams in Canada and the United States, was banned by skeptics. Dr. Colleen Huber, one of the most respected naturopath experts in the world, said in an editorial, quote, how Wikipedia got it wrong about naturopathic medicine, she writes, quote, physicians who attempt to edit the naturopathic page or to mention ongoing research in medical research in naturopathic colleges and institutions or to appeal to open-minded neutrality have all been banned from editing. Naturopathic physicians have attempted to point out that naturopathy is the original evidence-based medicine, drawing not just from the last century and two continents that conventional medicine draws from, but rather from all known human history and an inhabited continent. All of this is ignored by the Wikipedia editors, end quote. Yes. Now, I'm going to share with you now an exchange between a naturopathic doctor who made attempts to present the case of Wikipedia's distortion and misstatements on the Tea House page, where new editors visit to put forth their difficulties in editing entry content. Quote, this naturopathic physician, a group of full-time activists, I call them as I reach for the most tactful term, makes changes to the naturopathy page many times per day. These changes are consistently in a derogatory direction towards naturopathic physicians. I see that naturopathic physician edits are not allowed to stand. They are reverted back to libel within several minutes by this vandalizing group, many of whom are outside the United States evading U.S. libel laws. What recourse does the public or the naturopathic profession have to correct the quickly increasing number of lies that comprise the Wikipedia page on naturopathy? Talk or other negotiations with the cyber bullies is not on the table due to their flagrant violation of law and ethics. Will Wikipedia administrators take action against this problem? End quote. Skeptic editor, quote, because naturopathy is a fringe topic based on, in large part, on pseudoscience as reported by reliable sources, our experienced editors who work to defend the encyclopedia from content endorsing pseudoscience will always monitor this article closely. This is bound to hurt the feelings of the advocates of naturopathy, but that is the way things are, and all concerned should avoid insulting insulting language. That includes you. Your talk of, quote, evading U.S. libel laws and flagrant violation of law and ethics, you're coming perilously close to violating our policy calling for no legal threats. Those who make such threats are blocked from editing until the threat is withdrawn or all court cases are resolved, end quote. Physician, naturopathic physician. I regret to inform you that the sources you call reliable have only been reliable to consistently misrepresent and falsify the history and the effects of naturopathic medicine. The cyberbullying that has damaged the naturopathic page on Wikipedia has continually worsened in large part due to the echo chamber reliance on such sources, and I'm indicating to you the problems that arise from allowing such behavior to continue. I have shown that the naturopathic page fulfills the Wikipedia definition of cyberbullying tactics. Please be clear. Are you defending the cyberbullying tactics? If not, what will be done to stop the problem? Skeptic. If reliable scientific sources say that naturopathy is largely based on pseudoscience, then so too shall Wikipedia. It cannot be any other way. You are, of course, entirely free to promulgate your beliefs on other websites, but Wikipedia does not exist to validate or promote pseudoscience in any way, shape, or form. Also from another skeptic editor, quote, Wikipedia has a policy of not giving equal validity to fringe subjects in pseudoscience. This is not bullying. In conclusion, skeptics believe that they are a fourth estate, given special privilege and rights by Jimmy Wells to be the harbingers of medical truths fashioned in their own warped image of scientific reductionism and denial. In effect, this is a form of medical McCarthyism. They have become the guardians and attack dogs of those ideologues, such as Wells, who use Wikipedia to promulgate their own personal agendas. They act as if they have a right to smear and destroy those who expose their double standards and hypocrisies. In our opinion, skeptics' control of Wikipedia and their pages on complementary alternative medicine is nothing more than a mob rule by illiterate proletariats. With healthcare costs rising steadily beyond the reach of the average American, patient out-of-pocket spending for healthcare rose $365 billion last year, compared to $34 billion for complementary and alternative medical services. With every indication, this will continue into the future. Naturopathy remains a valuable line of defense in the prevention and treatment of disease. In summary, we have more illnesses, obesity, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, neurodegenerative diseases, than ever before in our nation's history. What is missing are three principles improperly defining the decline of the American health quality system. One, a proper primary and secondary educational program for disease prevention in our school systems. Two, honor and uphold individual freedoms to make medical choices in their health care. And three, to conduct clinical trials comparing the effectiveness and safety of complementary and alternative therapies versus conventional therapies for specific diseases. Throughout our history, from the Salem witch trials to McCarthyism to red baiting and now censorship by the current surveillance state, we have always had small groups of individuals who are intolerant of any reality other than their own. Jimmy Wells and the Wikipedia skeptics are simply the latest incarnation of this dogmatic prejudice that is further eroding the national health system. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.